throughout this campaign. I'm not going to dignify such comments. And in view of the fact that one of the very few members of the Congress who is publicly and actively supporting the opposition case, this campaign has very vigorously yesterday criticized this kind of acting. Makes it not necessary to be responsible. I think the responsible members of the Democratic Party will be turned off by this kind of campaigning. And I would suggest that responsible members of the press, following the single standard which they are deeply devoted, will also be turned off. President, do you feel as Vice President Agnew said the other day that the predators never had to wait in the city or things characterized as that? I'm not going to characterize the senator's campaign. Matter of fact, I don't question the voice. I think he deeply believes in number of actions that he believes that this government should take that I think would be very disastrous for this nation, as I pointed out in my sentence. And consequently, as far as I'm concerned, I will discuss those issues, but I'm not going to be able to raise any doubts about his motives. And incidentally, I have no complaints about mine. That's his choice.
Right, Mr. President, one of those issues is Vietnam. Do you see any possibility of a negotiated settlement before the election?
The settlement will come just as soon as we can possibly get a settlement, which is right. Right. South Vietnamese, North Vietnamese. For us, one that will have in mind our goals of preventing imposition by force of the Communist government in South Vietnam, and of course, go particularly close to our hearts in humanitarian sense, the return of our prisoner of war. I should emphasize, however, that under no circumstances will the timing of the settlement, for example, the possible negotiation of a ceasefire, the possible negotiation of or unilateral action regarding the bombing halt. Under no circumstances will such action be affected by the fact that there is going to be an election. So if we can make the right kind of a settlement before the election, we'll make it. If we can't, we're not going to make the wrong kind of a settlement before the election. We were around that track in 1968 and well intentioned men made a very, very great mistake. Stopping the bombing without adequate agreements from the other side. I do not criticize them for their motions. I simply say, having seen what happened then, we're not going to make that mistake now. The election, I repeat, will not emphasize, will not in any way influence what we do in negotiating the table. Now, second, because I know this subject has been discussed by a number of you, as it should be in the commentary and in the report. The negotiations at this time, as you know, have been in the private channel very extensive. We have agreed that neither side will discuss the content of those negotiations. I will not discuss it one way or another. I will only say that these negotiations are in a sensitive stage. I cannot predict, and will not predict, that they will or will not succeed. And I cannot, will not predict when they will succeed. But I will say that any comment on my part with regard to how the negotiations go could only have a detrimental effect on
said, that the, knowing maybe waiting until after the election to make a final statement, I'm curious that they got a Democrat elected to get president for that. They could be motivated for that.
There are those who believe that they're motivated to understand 1968.
Why the critics who charge this handle of all of your Russian duty?
apply to have such allocations investigated. Incidentally, with thorough agreement completed in the House, Secretary Butler and the House Committee on Agriculture both looked into these charges. From the big brain, the so-called Big Six, got advanced information, made a lot of money. And that particularly some of the wheat growers in the southwestern part of the country who sell their wheat early, usually in order to get a premium, were left holding the bag when they put it down. They had the advanced information that there was going to be a deal. Now, if there's any impropriety, if there was any illegality, we want to know. And the way to find out is to put the best investigative agency in the world to work on finding out. As soon as their investigation is completed, and we want to as quickly as we can, it will be made available to the Secretary, and we will take whatever action we need if there is illegality or impropriety. Now let me turn, if I could, on a wheat deal, however, to another side of it which has also come to my attention. I've been rather amused by some of the comments to the effect that the wheat deal would be bad in the United States. We've got the Senator of the Russians, but I use that term just from the book of ask for translation, but in any event, and I said, well, you acted like capitalists. But in any event, it might be because you didn't tell us that your brain failure is the greatest one. And of course, it's responsible as well as what would you have done? He said, we knew we had to buy a lot of wheat and didn't want to push the price up. So, in any event, let me take very briefly a moment of your time to point out what was in it for us. First, the wheat deal cost us $122 in, as you know, payments, farm payments. But this is what we got. The farmers got $1 billion more farm income. There were thousands of jobs created, including jobs in the American region, all on the farm, the cotton as a result of wheat. Taxpayers would save $200 million in farm payments that otherwise had to be made if we kept the wheat in storage and not sold. Now, in addition, the wheat deal, this one, the one that we've made with the Chinese, the one we made with the Japanese, the grain, so forth and so on, have had a very significant effect in improving our balance of trade and balance of payment position. And as far as the terms were concerned, when we went in, I negotiated this directly after a lot of preliminary work, because I'm very good for my work as Secretary Peterson, and of course, Secretary Duncan. They wanted 10 years at 2%, and they wanted for 3 years at over 6%. Now, they got something they needed. They have a short-term crop, and they needed this wheat in order to feed their people. But it was also good for us. Despite that, however, we certainly want no one to have gotten any inside information to make a profit out of it, which was illegal or improper. And if that did happen, we're going to find out what this actually does.
Mr. President, do you agree with Secretary Butts that if he had known that one of his aides was going to join the grain dealer, that he would not have taken him along in negotiating the Russian deal?
Well, I have very great respect for Secretary Butts' judgment in this matter. The only addition that we made to it is that when we announced the grain deal on July the 8th in San Clemente, if you recall, it was only then that we were sure. Evidently, many, of course, are now wondering what's going to happen to the trade agreement. I can't tell you whether there will be one or when. I think there will be one. But my point is that when we negotiate in this economic field, as is the case when we negotiate in the field of arms control, it is tough bargaining up and down the line. And until we get it nailed down, we are not sure that we're going to get it. In this instance, while the assistant did take a trip to the Soviet Union, he certainly, I think, would have been very unwise to rely on the facility, there was going to be a deal until one is made. If you did rely on it, you probably did, you probably, in this instance, came out well. You could have come out the other way.
Mr. President, on the question of property taxes, sir, Mr. Earlman has said that the administration will long-term goal of reducing property taxes by 50%, which would mean about $16 billion from the federal government, presumably, to states to make up for the property tax loss. How would you find that $16 billion without having to increase other taxes?
We can't do it all in one life. We have to begin with that. As Mr. Earlman has indicated, that is why we have set as a goal of 50% reduction. Now, let me indicate to you the priorities that I see developing with regard to property tax relief. We have to start first with the elderly. When I met with Mr. Marion, who, as you know, is a professional advisor in governmental relations, he gave me some statistics which, to me, were terribly impressive. There are 1 million retired people in this country who have income of less than $2,000 a year and who on the average pay a property tax of 33 1/3% of that income. Now that is fiscally wrong, morally wrong, and certainly tax wrong. And we must begin by lifting that burden from most people who have worked all their lives, are now retired on what is basically an inadequate amount, and are paying a third of their taxes for property taxes, which sends basically children to school. I have discussed this matter not only with Mary, Mr. Schultz, and I have had, as you noticed, a number of meetings on this in the past few weeks. We hope to have a plan which we can present at an early date. I cannot indicate to you what that date will be, but I will say this. One, we are going to propose for the next time a plan that will relieve, what will start down the road of reducing the burden of property taxes. The first priority will be to reduce the burden of property taxes on the elderly. And second, whatever step we take, one condition is it must not require any increase in other taxes. And we think we found a formula to do that.
Mr. President, don't you think that your administration and the public would be served considerably and that the men on the indictment would be treated better if you people would come through and make a clean draft about what you were trying to get done at the Watergate?
One who refused to cooperate, and another who was apprehended. and under these circumstances, the grand jury now has acted. It is now time to have the judicial process go forward and for the evidence to be presented. I would say finally, with regard to commenting on any of those who have been indicted, with regard to say anything about the judicial process, I'm going to follow the advice which I appreciate the members of trust for. My constant and I trust will always continue to be very responsible critics. I stepped into one on that. If you recall, I made inadvertently a comment in Denver about an individual who had been indicted in California, the Manson case. I was vigorously criticized for making any comment about the case. So, of course, I wouldn't. I know you want to follow the same single standard.
When are you going to begin intensive campaigning, and are you going to begin intensive campaigning?
I repeat, Mr. Warren, what I have said previously. San Francisco. Until the Congress adjourns, my primary responsibility is to stay here. And particularly to stay here to fight the battle against bigger spending that would lead to bigger taxes. I made a commitment, and I make it here again today. There will be no tax increase in 1973. However, there is one problem with that commitment. There will be no presidential tax increase. Finally, we need the cooperation of the Congress. And there could be a congressional tax increase. If the Congress, for example, does not approve the $250 billion ceiling that we were requesting, that is going to make the possible chances of avoiding a tax increase more difficult. It does not make it impossible, however, because we have a second line of defense. If the Congress, as it appears like, continues to pass bills that substantially exceed the budget, which already is at the highest limit that our tax income will pay for, if the Congress continues to pass bills and send to the President's desk that exceed that budget, the Congress will have voted for a tax increase. However, I still have one weapon left. That's the deal. And my own prediction is that after talking to our own leaders and after hearing from some responsible Democrats in the House, that even though the Congress will probably send to my desk in the next 2 or 3 weeks a number of bills that will substantially exceed the budget, and that would result in a congressional tax increase, I think my vetoes of those bills will be sustained, and that will make it possible for me to keep my commitment for no tax increase. Now, that shows one of the reasons why it's important for me to stay on the job here in Washington until the Congress adjourns, and until that very great danger of a tax increase caused by congressional overspending is a man in the field. Now, once the Congress leaves, or once I see that danger passing, then I can make plans to go into various parts of the country. In the meantime, I'm going to have to limit my travel, as I've indicated, to perhaps once a week, on a day that I see no significant problems with energy here. But I will not return that. If I have to choose between engaging in the all of the spectaculars of a campaign, which I've been doing virtually all my life, every 2 years, 25 years, if I have to choose between that and staying on the job and doing something that would result in avoiding a tax increase for the American people, I'm going to stay away from the job. I know that political questions are been discussed with the government. I will
problem.
The problem of candidates is head of school and his organization is a very significant one in this respect. It's the problem of getting his vote out. Now, what we need above everything else is a big vote. And in order to get a big vote, it means that people have to be stimulated to vote. That's one of the reasons that going to the countries and participating will help get that big vote out. And when the time, when that time will go to the time, you know, to get the vote out. With the candidate who is behind substantially in the polls, he doesn't have that problem. Let me give you all the pollsters. You know, the pollsters always remember when they predicted right, they never would ever predict wrong. And this doesn't prove it. The margins are up in the 60-40 range. On the fringe, it's always quite soft either way. But in 1964, I was interested at the time, that Gallup never had Goldwater more than 32% as an account. In fact, Gallup's poll, taken one week before the election, showed Goldwater at 32%. He got 39%. Why? The Goldwater people voted. Many of the Johnson people voted as made. We, of course, have the same problem. But for Johnson still won. Maybe we will. What I'm simply suggesting is, as far as predictions are concerned, I told all of our people, don't rely on the polls. Remember that the candidate who is behind will tend to get his vote out. Ours will tend not to get out. Get our vote out and try to win as big a popular vote as we can and as big a electoral vote as we can. Purpose, not to make the other candidate look bad, but the purpose is to get what I have described as the new American majority, in which Republicans, Democrats, and Independents join together supporting not a party or not an individual, but supporting the record of the past 4 years, the positions, which are very clear cut that I have taken on the great issues, and thereby giving us the opportunity to continue on this work.
Mr. President,
as Election Day comes forward, you've also been criticized for isolating yourself, not making yourself available.
High question.
Apart from going out and hitting the hustings, do you plan to have more press conferences between now and election?
Well, I would plan to try to find ways to be available for purposes of presenting my position when I can. For example, on the matter of taxes, how we avoid a tax increase. I know that Mr. Ehrlichman has written on my view, Mr. Schultz has a number of others. I tried to cover it here briefly this morning, but on campaign yesterday, I completed a speech that I had made on the subject. And while I can't get away this weekend, I'm going to deliver it by Nationwide Radio, provide the funds. Nationwide Radio on Saturday night. Then if it's a writing press, you will have it in time in the Sunday papers.
Part of the fact is because at least Congress has, if you can't get out, part can't you accept subsidy surrogates for the people you can't see and have a press conference between November 7th.
We like the surrogates, we don't mind.
Yes, we need to have a respect. We can ask the questions the public's asking.
Sure, it's always a challenge, but it's one that requires hard work. I recall incidentally in that connection to the press conference. I think I told you once the writing of the fact played wasn't as good as what I've got now. It's a very good DC brief. And I recall talking about the speech right now. I hated to write speeches, and I talked to Paul Fidelis about it. Do it. I consider it necessary. Let me go through the torture because the writing of the speech. to be issued. And I must say the preparation for the press conference halts the discipline of mind to talk about the issues, to do time precisely how you're planning. I think that the format of questions and answers can be used, and certainly consider the possibility of using that format. Maybe not just here, maybe in other places as well. And we will inspect the question.
Mr. President, now that the welfare reform appears to be dead, or at least going on Capitol Hill, I'm wondering, after all this, whether you still support the principle implicit in H.R. 1 of minimum income assistance for poor families, and whether you would push for that principle in Secretary.
And yes, the Board of Finance, and as far as welfare reform, general. Then we would have to move on to the constitutional amendment. I would point out that that however the legislative front is preferable and also easier because it requires and quicker. Because it requires only a majority and not a two-thirds, and also can move quickly. So if we don't get it now, we'll go for it as a matter of the highest priority in the first session of the next Congress.
Like I said, you're right.
Saturday night, which is worth our getting.
Just,
of it by just putting the abatement.
We're doing both.
You've got some great one, then it's fine.
We're doing both, but the thing we're doing immediately is getting the radio times.
We were just talking this morning about the thing we talked about yesterday, setting this line of not relying on polls and working for the new majority and all that. We've got you.
Beautiful.
And the whole point, everybody knows that's when the president's got to set. Well, God, you said it.
Beautiful.
Thing
I love. Right at the very end, on your last answer, you brought up the issues that they hadn't asked you about that we.
Amnesty.
Sure. It was beautiful.
Amnesty, spending increases, defense cuts, all our domestic proposals, Mr. Simple, and you stuck it back in the end. Those are all in there.
Well, it was beautiful. It's a campaign director's delight.
This is great days.
Oh, beautiful.
The thing of you know, why I oppose any additional welfare with all three of our opponents' programs, whichever one you want to check.
Yeah.
And that correction, and they said you're accused of isolating on the type. Isolating is a big word.
You know, they're
also saying about this. Oh, I know you read more about you doing the single standard.
You twice use single sentences to bring it back in again, was great, because that reinforced the first use of it.
They laughed at the second one.
That's what's so good. That's what's so good about the radio tape. You've got the press laughing. Really?
Mention something to you about synthetic aspect.
never screw it.
It'll be noticed. All right. Well, I know is that's this idea that the oil producers are going to kick my ass. There's only one thing I want you to do. I want you to call Kyle. Dylan, we had to make this decision. There was no other way.
Well, you're not really making a decision. You're postponing a decision.
Dylan, you're postponing that. Tell him why, and we want him to protect it. Some of the oil producers on the way to sell it. They never had a better friend than the damn White House. So you see, you get a little of that. It's okay. That's the only thing, but I have no, it causes me no trouble at all. Okay. You want to hear what that means? What are you going to do with Seattle?
I'm doing a fundraiser in Milwaukee.
You?
Yeah. $500 a plate. I'm sure you don't take that.
Well, the Democrats.
That's the same. Every time the legislature introduced Jerry Walty, it's one of the new members.
members of Congress who support it.
That was a day that I'll never forget.
Well, you helped us because we sent out that Washington Post story throughout the country yesterday, and you're highlighting it in your answer.
I don't think that they better pick that up today. They'll pick it up. Well, they think, well, they may.
Nope, they will because
I didn't use the word gutter because they would have picked it up then. And you know, they tried to hang me with Agnew's sake too, so I didn't use that. Just as well.
I'm not going to care about the senators. UPI leads the president today, brushed aside Democratic nominee George McGovern's charges of corruption, which he predicted it would turn off the public. It also refers to, speaking in low tones, the president noted McGovern's corruption charges and accusations that the U.S. policy of Vietnam was the worst crime since the Nazi extermination of Jews. Some of my more partisan supporters have said I would respond in kind, the president said, but I'm not going to dignify such comments with a reply.
That's the best put down.
President Nixon said today there will be no presidential tax increase in 1973, but argued that congressional overspending might make one necessary. Holding a 40-minute news conference in his own office, the president declared the Vietnam peace talks are in a sensitive state.
Yeah. That's perfect. Also, the line on Vietnam that we were not going to make a settlement, we're not going to settle anything because of the election.
President said he would not let the November 7th election dictate an ill-conceived settlement of the Vietnam War. He ruled out a pre-election bombing hoax, as said former President Johnson made a very, very great mistake when he stopped the bombing 4 years ago.
Well, it was a great mistake. It was a mistake. I said, I don't criticize it. I mean, they did it with the best of intentions, but we got suckered. That was a good line, I thought.
Oh, and then you asked, what Romico asked for translation. Well, Mr. President, as far as your planning is concerned, I would hope that you do this in approximately 2 weeks, whether or not the Congress is adjourned.
That's your view, John?
Yes, I would do it at least.
You're against it in 2 weeks?
No, I'm for it.
I'm not opposed to it, but I think we wait and see before we can then, you know.
But you're not. I just keep playing this one over and over. No, seriously, it should be the other one. I mean, I had Bill Potter, I had it in mind. I didn't want to tell him that because I have in mind doing another one. But I have in mind sort of doing it about, you see, we go down to Atlanta next week and then we rush off to New York next week. Maybe, you don't know. No, not New York.
No.
You were applying by the original. I was, but I'm not going to. These are much better because the questions are better here. And you have a smaller group. See, this is much better than the East Group. Because the East Group, basically, you have all those assholes in there together. And they all are showing off. And anyway, also the problem is you get a son of a bitch equal time. I'm not going to do it. He's going to get his time the hard way.
Well, that TV Guide article, Joyce Brothers, is fascinating.
Who is Joyce Brothers? That man or woman?
She's actually a psychologist.
Those have been coming up with the jerk questions. That's why these are better. These are working.
trying to interrupt, and he just kept around doing it.
I said, wait a minute. That's all right, too.
Oh, of course. You were endeavoring to answer the question that was put to you, and they were denying you the opportunity to complete your answer.
I wonder who's going to pick up the single standard line, which is Marvin's.
Well, I expect it to be
twice. Oh, Jesus, it looks beautiful.
President,
you know, I hit it on
look, I hit it on put it on the single standard on Manson.
That's what you did back to it.
Well, you opened
with it on open. On the press will draw their own conclusions about this following, about this kind of campaigning following the single standard.
The single standard, which I know they're also. That was the first question. In the first question.
That's
the,
that was the first question.
But if they point that to that's not harmful.
It what? No.
What?
Bargaining? No, because it showed the implied harsh aspect of the question that was carried with the voice.
But at the same time, your voice never changed.
Oh. Voice never changed throughout.
Mr. President, at some point, I would like to suggest that you play that back and listen to the tone that you had there. It was precisely right.
Were you out of it? You listened to it?
No, man, no. But I'm sure it'll come across.
I was out of the room. It was beautiful on the radio. Beautiful.
Coming out of the room, ever. It's been difficult to get that experience.
Well, it had a put-down quality to it. I mean, it right from the outset, you have...
Well, that first question, Charles says, you sound like you really felt sorry for the poor son of a bitch screaming like he was about this stuff. I mean, you know, I've noticed this. He said this, he said that, he said we're corrupt, deceitful. Compared to Hitler, compared to the person who went to China, Soviet Union is the number one war.
Crushed by 5,000
Americans. Crushed by 5,000 Americans. And my more partisan advisors said that I should respond to God. It's the same knowledge that isn't too bad that those Mexican children are not in violation. But who is that partisan advisor? We ought to get rid of that guy.
It's you, isn't it? Right. You.
Oh, is it me? Amy Riverbaugh is going to offer HR 1 today.
He is?
Yeah.
Great.
Which he got the votes.
Makes good profits of himself.
You got the votes?
Oh, Long says he'll filibuster till New Year's.
Well, that's good. Then we got a chance to do it later.
So we're all set in HR 1.
We're for it, but it's got to have better work requirements.
Yeah.
We're well positioned.
Not going to add anybody to the welfare rolls. Not one damn iota. Not going to give an inch.
CBS does. I played that clip too. It was great from your speech when you announced it. We said we have time to take people off the welfare and put them on welfare. Did you see that?
It was a great commercial.
All right, we'll see you through.
Thank you, sir.
Incidentally, did you really listen to those guys on stage? Is that important? Who wasn't a person on stage in the library?
I've been telling people back
there. Gregory,
they tell them every night.
They're still saying,
no, you were here today.
No, you and Timmons, they said, listen to them. That pain or not? Why didn't you tell me?
Well, that's what I say to most of
them. You know, I'll tell you, John, before you, it's one of the funniest stories. I used to have a fellow working for me, the name of Bob. And he was together the Red Squad, the FBI Red Squad in San Francisco during the war. And they had a bug in the bedroom apartment of a woman who was a communist and spy, so on. And but she was an infomaniac. And the job of listening to this is the most horrible thing. Because it's dull, you know, so forth. And he said, these guys, you know, they have to do that. So these guys would give up their lead to get the business listening in. And, you know, and apparently she was quite a, she not only, you could hear the motions, but the voice is really something.
I know what the House of American Activities Committee did in the telehire.
Yelping like an Irish singer.
Yeah.
He wants to move right now.
Why?
Well,
Who's your girl? It's a matter of the public notoriety, and everybody knows the government has it under consideration. Take a lot of heat if we don't do something now.
What's the negative?
There's nothing that I can see. There's no damn good reason why we should decide it right now.
Just crazy.
He never realized that there are times that we can't do it. Well, I'm sure if it were not an election year, this would be a fine time to do it, but we can wait a few weeks.
You know, the thing about this is those put these folks down in a kind way, but don't let them get away with anything.
You've got to needle them with that same standard.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. When you do it.